Okay, we'll start recording from here. Okay, so just to recap, the reference to Bayit central to the Korban Pesach, 16 times, 18 times, if you look at it in a larger context, the word Bayit is mentioned in Perek Yud Bet, and the entire motif of Pesach revolves around the Bayit in which we sat protected with the dam on the mezuzot of the home. At the same time, I want to point out that there's an opposite motif. And the opposite motif is also worthy of note, and we're going to spend some time talking about this. But when we look at the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, in Perek Yud Gimel, we find the phrase, Vayomer Moshe la'am zochor et hayom hazeh asher yetzatem mimitzrayim, remember this day that you left Egypt, mi beit avadim. We didn't just leave Egypt as a land, we left Egypt mi beit avadim, from the house of bondage. And suddenly we are introduced to a new concept that kind of contrasts with the bayit in which we celebrated our freedom, the bayit in which we celebrated the first Pesach, the bayit in which we placed the blood on the doorposts, which later translates into the mitzvah of the mezuzah that protects the bayit. Right, the bayit of Israel is suddenly contrasted with this new phrase called, we didn't just leave Egypt, we left Beit Avadim, we left a house of bondage. And so part of my question this morning is to understand not just the bayit motif as it applies to the Korban Pesach and to the mitzvot of Pesach, but also the meaning of this phrase, Mi Beit Avadim. It's a unique phrase, and I'll show you how unique it is in a moment. We are so familiar with it that we think it is kind of ubiquitous and synonymous with leaving Mitzrayim, but as we'll see, it actually is much more significant than that. It appears in this passage in Perek Yud Gimel twice, once here in the context of Zechor Tayom Asher Yitzatem Mitzrayim Yibet Abadim, and then at the end of this passage with regards to the child's question, Ki Shachash Bin Chamachar Lemor, Mazot v'yamartayelav bechozek yadash tzianu Hashem Mitzrayim mi beit avadim. We left Mitzrayim from the house of bondage. So there are really two concepts here. One is the bayit of our bayit, in which we celebrated Pesach, and the other is the beit avadim from which we emerged. We are most familiar with this phrase in its more common application. We're familiar with it from most famously from the Aseret HaDibrot. If the moment Hashem speaks to Israel on Har Sinai, that opening declaration of the Aseret HaDibrot is Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mi Beit Avadim. I took you out of Egypt from the house of bondage. So this phrase is significant enough to be worthy of a place in the Aseret HaDibrot, both here and in Devarim, the opening kind of introduction between God and Israel. Quick search, in today's modern technology you can do this, quick search will uncover the fact that the phrase Beit Avadim appears in Tanakh a total of 13 times. Twice in Perek Yud Gimel and Shemot, twice in the context of the Aseret HaDibrot, five times in Sefer Devarim, and four times in the Neviim, once in Yeshua, once in Shoftim, once in Yirmiyahu, and once in Micha. Meaning, it's a significant phrase, but it has a very specific connotation, and it's that connotation that I want to try to explore or understand. First of all, when it appears in Sefer Devarim, it comes with a unique verb. Ki mi'avat Hashem etchem mishamot ha'shvua shenishba la'avotechem, hotzi Hashem etchem yad chazaka, God took you out of Egypt with a strong hand, va'yifdecha mi'beit avadim, and he was podeh you from the house of bondage. And the question that the Mepharshim struggle with is the word vayiftecha, God was podeh you from the house of bondage, simply a synonym for hotzi Hashem me'eretz Mitzrayim? Are they the same? in Devarim Yud Gimel, Hamotzia etcha me'eretz Mitzrayim v'hapotcha mi'beit avadim. He took you out of Egypt, and he was poder. Poder we typically translate as he redeemed you from the house of bondage. Similarly in Micha, ki aliticha me'eretz Mitzrayim u'mi'beit avadim piditicha. Right, there's two different verbs here used to describe leaving Mitzrayim and leaving Beit Avadim. The question is why? So there are those who suggest, like Radatz Hoffman, that it's simply a synonym. That Vayiftecha means, like it says in Shemot, V'samti pedut ben ami uben amecha, I will separate my people from your people. And that Hotzi is a synonym for Poder, and they simply mean, I will separate you, or I have removed you from the land of Egypt. I have removed you or separated you from the house of bondage. On the other hand, the phraseology is very intentional. Poder mi'beit avadim is the phrase that's used all the time. We say it in our own tefillah. When we formulate our davening to reflect the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, we use exactly the same phraseology. We say, for example, in Birkat HaMazon, we thank you, God, for giving us the land of Israel. You took us out of the land of Egypt. And you redeemed us from the house of bondage. Or Shabbos morning. So it's too intentional to simply be an arbitrary kind of synonym for to take us out. And the question that I want to explore is the significance of to redeem us in the house of bondage. Well, how is that different from removing us from the land of Egypt? So that's my first question. Part of that question is the placement of this phrase, where this phrase is first introduced to us. I showed you that it appears in Perek Yud Gimel, immediately following the Korban Pesach. And if it is in fact part of the motif of Yetziat Mitzrayim, God who promises to take us out of Egypt, God who promises to redeem us, to redeem us from the land of Egypt, I would anticipate that the phraseology, which is now so kind of rolls off the tongue, you took us out of Egypt and you redeemed us in the house of bondage, I would expect that that phraseology should have been with us from the very beginning. And yet, lo and behold, the very first time this phrase is mentioned anywhere is here in Perek Yud Gimel. This reference here, Zechor et hayom hazeh she'etz yitzatem mitzrayim mi'beit avadim, is the very first time the phrase Beit Avadim appears anywhere. And not only is it conspicuously absent, and not only is it unique that it appears here for the first time, there are places that we've encountered so far in the story that, in a sense, beg this phrase to appear, they beg for it, and naturally, and yet it doesn't. For example, Moshe at the Sneh. When God describes to Moshe the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, how God's plan for Yetziat Mitzrayim, he says to Moshe, Ered lahatzilom miyad Mitzrayim, I will come down. Let's start from Pasuk Zayin. Vayomer Hashem ra'ora iti et ani ami asher b'Mitzrayim, I see the affliction of my people. I have seen the affliction of my people in Mitzrayim. I've heard their cry, et sa'akatam shamati. Ve'ered lahatzilom miyad Mitzrayim, I will go down to save them from Egypt. Ula ha'alato min ha'aretz, and to bring them up from the land, to the land of Israel. And therefore, atal lecha v'eshlachacha el paro, I will send you to paro, v'hotzi et ami b'nei Yisrael mi'mitzrayim u'mi'beit avadim. Take them out of Egypt. You will take my people Israel out of Mitzrayim. And here is where it should say, from the house of bondage. If that's the phrase from the very from the Aseret HaDibrot, that's how it's formulated, I would have expected that phrase to appear here, and yet it's not. Similarly, Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'yom Moshe Elokim, Mi Enochi Ki Alecha Paro B'chu Yetziat B'nei Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim. Says God, V'zeh Lecha Ot Kenechi Shlachticha Bo'tziyacha Ta'am Mi Mitzrayim. The phrase is constantly a repetition of taking them out of Egypt. There's no reference here to the house of bondage as it becomes so common subsequently. Okay, let's take one additional place. Shmot Perek Vav. Shmot Perek Vav is a kind of the reboot. In the beginning of Parshat Va'era, the reboot of the story, God gives Moshe the expressions, the language, the words that represent the redemption. What we call the Dalad L'shanot Gula, the four expressions of redemption. And we say that they loom large in the Pesach Seder because they are the foundation of the four cups of wine. And they represent the whole process of redemption. And yet, if you look at them carefully, the one phrase that's not there is the phrase Beit Avadim. I'll take you out from under the bondage, the suffering of Egypt. I will save you from their service. I will redeem you. I'll take you from my people, and I will be your God, and you will know that I am your God. Who has removed you, who has taken you out from under the burden of Egypt. And yet the phrase, Mi Beit Avadim, which begs itself right here, Atachat Tzivlot Mitzrayim, Mi Beit Avadim, is not there. And so essentially there are two anchor points to this question. One is to understand the contrast between the role of the Bayit in the story of Pesach, in our story of Pesach, and B, the significance of the phrase to be redeemed from the house of bondage, which looms large in the story after we actually leave Egypt, and yet beforehand is nowhere to be found. That's all part one of my question. Part two of my question, and I kind of played a little bit of a game with the title of the shiur, is I want to take us into a completely different part of Chumash for a little bit of time and to explore a totally different story that has a Pesach link, at least in the Medrash, and then bring us back to the themes that I think will help us understand this discussion of the role of the Bayit versus the role of, or the emergence from, redemption from Beit Avadim. So, if you looked at the title of the shiur, I had called it From the House of Bondage to the House of Israel. And then I put this little byline in here. Forgive the typo. Pharaoh and Lot, a plague on both their houses. What does Lot have to do with the story of Pesach? So, here's the interesting exercise. Where in the Pesach Seder, here's a question. Where in the, is a challenge question. If you haven't looked at the source pages, if you looked at the source pages, you looked ahead. That's not fair. But where in the Pesach Seder do we find a reference to Lot? It's a very obscure reference. You have to almost find it with a magnifying glass. But there is a reference to Lot in the Seder. In the Haggadah, it appears at the very end, in Nirtzeh, in all those Zemiras that we sing at the end of the Seder, when everybody's half asleep and half not concentrating because of the impact of four cups of wine. There is a song at the end of the Seder called V'amartem Zevach Pesach. It's one of the two piyutim, V'hibachatzi Alayla is one, and V'amartem Zevach Pesach is the other. And in that piyut, we talk about various events in history that took place on Pesach. The fall of Sancheriv, they all have a Pesach-style theme to them. And there in that paragraph, we say the following, Zoamus domim velo hatu be'esh be'pesach. Sdom caused God's indignation, and he set them on fire on Pesach. Chulatz Lot mehem umatzot afa be'ketz Pesach. Lot was rescued from Sdom, and he baked matzah for the malachim at the end of Pesach. What is this a reference to? It's a reference to a medrash, which is actually quoted by Rashi. And here in Bereshit Yudtet is the story of Lot and the malachim and the destruction of Sdom. And there in that story, Ve'yavod shnei ha-malachim Sdoma be'erav, the two malachim came to Sdom in the evening, but Lot was sitting in the gate of the city of Lot, Yosheb b'shar Sdom. Lot sees them and he brings them into his house. Sudana obet avatchem. Vayavoa beitot, they come into his house. Vayas lem mishte umatzot afa. And he baked them matzo. So, of course, Rashi says the reason he baked them matzo was because Pesach haya. It was Pesach. So says the Medrash. Now, interestingly enough, the same Malachim went to Abraham, and by Abraham it says that he made ugot for them, which sounds like chametz. So in the same piyut that refers in the paragraph earlier, it talks about Abraham making them ugot matzot, but because it was the end of Pesach. But the other possibility is that if we're really talking about Pesach, he could have come to them on Erev Pesach. Abraham could, Malachim could have visited Abraham in the morning of Erev Pesach, in which case he made chametz. By the time they got to Lot in the evening already, it was Lel HaSeder, and so he made matzah. But the real question is, what does this medrash mean? Because, as I've said many times, midrashim are not meant to necessarily be taken literally, but they're meant to be taken seriously. Meaning, the Chazal are trying to point out something about the story of Lot that is intrinsically connected to the story of Pesach. And if we take a step back and we look at the story as a whole and kind of look at the imagery of the story and the language of the story, suddenly we find that there were significant parallels between the story of Lot and his leaving or Sodom and the story of Bnei Yisrael that night in Mitzrayim, leaving Egypt or going through the experience of Lel HaSeder. Let's start with simple linguistic parallels. I shared with you before the phrase in Shemot Perek Gimel, where God says to Moshe at the Sneh, Ered lahatzilo, I will come down to save Israel from Mitzrayim. Hatayinei tzakat Bnei Yisrael ba'elai, the cry of Israel has come to me. Well, similarly here, we find the phrase in Bereshit Perek Yudchet, one perek earlier, Vayomer Hashem zakat Sodom va'amora ki rabba, the cry of Sodom va'amora is great, the sin is very heavy, chatatam ki kavda me'od, it's also a phrase I didn't actually highlight, but the kaved connected to nichbarati et libo, kaved le mitzparo. But here it says, eradana ve'ere haketzaakata ba'a ilai, I will go down and see if their cry has come to me, if it is true what I am seeing, and I will therefore know and take action. In other words, that phrase of the tzakah coming to Shemayim, and God coming down to address the needs at the moment, in this case, the destruction of Sodom, right? That's the exact parallel. There's some other interesting language parallels. By Mitzrayim, we make a big deal out of the fact that we came down to Mitzrayim lagur ba'aretz, to sojourn in the land. We say in the Haggadah, anusa piadibur, we came down, forced to come down to Mitzrayim, because it says lagur ba'aretz banu. And similarly by Lot, the people of Sodom accuse Lot of echad ba'lagur va'ishpot shafot. He came to sojourn temporarily, and he became a judge, and he's kind of becomes one of them, if you will. There's the bigger parallel is the context of the mashrit. Right? The whole purpose of the malachim was to come to Sodom, to save Lot and to destroy Sodom. And the language used there is ki mashchitim anachnu et hamakom hazeh. We are going to destroy this place. Therefore, kumu tzu'u min hamakom. Get out of this place. Ki mashchit Hashem et ha'ir. Because God is going to destroy the city. Well, that's exactly what this experience of Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim was. We were told, kumu tzu'u mitochami, get out from the land of Egypt, because ha-mashchit lavo, because the mashchit was coming to destroy the firstborns. The role, the term mashchit appears in the context of Makat Bechorot, right? The whole purpose of the blood on the doorpost is to protect from the mashchit, and the mashchit is the description of the Malachim's role in Sodom. It goes even further. If you think about the whole context of Lot and the Malachim. Here, think about the context of how they are, what's going on. Right? Lot is inside the house together with these Malachim, and the people outside the door are, there's a whole tumult and clamoring and danger, etc. And Vayetze Alehem Lot Vapetcha Vahadelet Sagar Acharav, he had to close the door, and they yelled at him, Achad Balagor Vayishpot Shafot, and they wanted to kill him. They brought Lot back into the house, the Malachim, that closed the door. And the Malachim smelt all of the people outside of the house, Basanverim. Another name for Sanverim? Blindness. Another name for that is Makat Choshech. Right, so you have Makat Choshech, you have the Mashchit, you have the people Lot inside the house, you have them protected inside the house while all the tumult is going outside the house. You have the Malachim warning Lot that they need to leave this place because it's going to be destroyed. And one of the most interesting parallels, textual parallels, is this phrase, Vayit Ma'ama. When Lot is being pushed to leave Sdom, Vayit Ma'ama, he tarried, he procrastinated. And so the people, Vayachziku Anashim Biyado, Biyad Ishto, they had to literally, Vayotziu, they had to push them out the door, push them out. We'll come back to this Alta Bet Achrecha in a moment. But this phrase, Vayit Ma'ama, is very conspicuous because at the core of the story of Pesach is that why do we eat matzah and not leavened bread? Because lo yachlu lehit ma'ameya v'gam tzedah lo asu lehem. Because they could not tarry to make bread, and therefore had to make matzah. So the whole language reference here is reminiscent of the experience of Mitzrayim, and the whole context is God sending the Malachim to destroy a makah against Mitzrayim, a makah against Sodom, and to save Bnei Yisrael, or to save Lot, from that experience. That's on one level. And however, I've shared with you many times that every parallel in Tanakh is designed to highlight the differences. And so the real question is, if I have the story of the Yitziat Mitzrayim in parallel to, I'm going to call it Yitziat Sdom, right? The leaving of Sdom. Lot's leaving of Sdom, the role of the Malachia Mashchit, the Malachim to destroy Sdom and the Malachim to destroy Mitzrayim, and the role of Lot to leave to represent the story of Bnei Israel. If we have all of this parallel, what's the significance of it? Why is the Torah going out of its way to draw my attention to this description? And I think the key lies in this, in the end of the story. As Lot was being pushed out the door, Vayomer, the Malach says to Lot, Himalet al nafshecha, save yourself, run away, al tabit acharecha, don't look back, ve'al ta'amod b'chal kikar, don't tarry here in the kikar, just run to the mountain and penti safel, lest you be included in this destruction. He says to them, don't look back. And don't stand in their kikar. What is the significance? What is the symbolism of not looking back? Why was that so important? To the point where Eshet Lot Vatabet Ishto Me'acharav, she violates this, Vatayin Itziv Melech, and she gets transformed into salt, which is also an interesting question. Why is she transformed into salt, of all things? When the Alta Bet Acharecha. What's the message here to Eshet Lot? I think the message on the one hand is very simple, which is that why is it that Vayit Ma'ama, that Lot tarries? Why is it that Chad Balagur Vayishpot Shafot, why were they so upset that one came to live and he became a judge? Why is it that he pushes Lot out the door? Vayachziku Anashim Yado Vayad Yishto Vayotziu Anashim. You would think they would want to leave. You would think they would run away to leave. Why is that Lot asks to spare the city of Tzoar so that they can run away to one of the five cities of the Erekika? All the evidence points to the fact that Lot doesn't want to leave. Vayit Mama. And so when the Malach sends him out and he pushes him out and he saves him and he says to him, Al tabit acharecha, you don't have the right to look back. Don't look back and pine for Sodom. This is a break from Sodom. You don't have anything to do with Sodom. Sodom is being destroyed. Your future lies not here with Sodom, but somewhere else along a different destiny, along a different path. And Mrs. Lot, whoever she is, Vatabet Ishto Me'achorav, she can't help it. She has to look back. She pines for Sodom. She looks out at Sodom and she's kind of, her whole, right, to look out, to pine, to identify with and to connect with Sodom. And she gets transformed into Melech. Why Melech? So here the destruction of Sodom is described as Gafrit Ve'esh, fire and brimstone. How is it described in Parshat Nitzavim? Gafrit v'melach sreifa chol arza. Sodom was destroyed by salt, and she was transformed into salt because her whole essence was to look back and to pine for and to yearn for and to be want to be part of Sodom, not to leave Sodom. They don't want to leave Sodom. Vayit mama. They tarried. In the sense of their connection to Sodom is the exact opposite of our connection to Mitzrayim. We went down to Mitzrayim, anas al pi adibur, we say in the Haggadah. We anything but to come down to Mitzrayim. Anything but to go down there. We had to be forced to go down there. When we left Mitzrayim, we wanted to vayered Mitzrayim, and we say in the Haggadah, anas al pi adibur. How did Lot come to Mitzrayim, to Sodom? Vayivchar lo Lot et ha-re'akika. In the description of the separation between Abraham and Lot. Vayisa Lot atena vayaret kol kikar yarden ki kulam ashkel lifnei shechet Hashem et Sodom ve'et Amora. Before God destroyed Sodom ve'Amora, I'll come to this expression in a moment. Lot chose to go. Sorry, did I skip that phrase? Oh, here it is. Vayivchar lo Lot et kikar yarden. He chose to go down to Sodom. Not only did he choose to go down to Sodom, but Yisa Lot Mikedem, he went eastward and separated from Lot. The Torah tells us, "Anashei Sodom and Ra'im v'Chata'im LaHashem Ma'od." The people of Sodom were evil people, and yet Lot chose to go to Sodom. Rashi makes the comment that he, in choosing to go eastward, he siya atzmo mikadmono shel olam. Lot removed himself from the Ribbono shel Olam's. From loyalty to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Amar, he said, Efshi lo be'Avraham lo be'Elokav. He rejected Avraham, he rejected Avraham's God, and he chose the destiny in the path of Sodom. Now, here's an interesting irony. Sodom is described in the Torah as, the very first time we are introduced to Sodom, Sodom is described as, Kigan Hashem ke'eretz Mitzrayim. Like the garden of God, like the land of Egypt. Why was Sodom described as a garden of God, like the land of Egypt? Because Sodom had a characteristic that it shared with Eretz Mitzrayim. The Erei Kikar were this, like Yericho on the west side of the Yarden. The Erei Kikar were on the east side of the Yarden. Yericho is an oasis in the desert because it sits on underground springs. So too, all of the Erei Kikar sat on underground springs, and therefore it was this giant oasis in the desert before it was destroyed. And in that sense, it shared with Mitzrayim its dependence on the Nile rather than on rain. And that made it unique amongst all of the regions in the land of Israel. But the comparison between Sodom and Mitzrayim is significant. On the one hand, you have Sodom in Eretz Mitzrayim, described as Ra'im b'chatim la'Hashem ma'od, and on the other hand, in Sefer Bereishit, you have Mitzrayim described by Abraham as Rak en yirat alokim b'makom hazeh v'arguni al davar ishti, a place that lacks God-fearing people. And you have this contrast that says Sodom in the land of Canaan is the equivalent of Mitzrayim in the context of Africa. So, from that perspective, Lot's choosing to go to the Erei Kikar is the exact opposite of how we ended up going down to Mitzrayim. We were forced to Mitzrayim. Lot chose to go to Sodom. And Lot doesn't want to leave Sodom. To the point where he's pining for Sodom, and Eshet Lot looks back, Vatin Letziv Melach, and gets transformed into the same salt with which Sodom itself was destroyed. I'll share with you one additional observation about Lot refusing to leave Sodom, and that is the episode at the end of the story. It's a very strange episode after Lot escapes. Here, the end of Perek Yutet. Lot goes to Tzoar, stays in the mountain, together with his two daughters, and ends up in this Vayesha Bamara, he ends up in this cave, together with his daughters. Vatomra Bechira Latzira, the oldest says to the youngest, Avinu Zaken, Ve'ish Ein Ba'aretz Lavo Aleinu. There's nobody left in the land to come upon us, Kederach Kol Ha'aretz. Therefore, lacha nashket avinu yayin v'nishkavaymo nechayem avinu zera. So what's the solution? The solution is, let's get our father drunk, and we will become pregnant through our father, and that way we will repopulate the world. And they have two children. They call the first Moav, min ha'av, from the father, and they call the second one Amon, Min ben Ami, right, the son of my ancestry, meaning my people, Bene Amon Adayomazeh. It's a very strange episode. It's strange for several reasons. Number one, the whole context of it is weird. But more importantly, think about it from this perspective. They were told that the Arei HaKikar were going to be destroyed. They could see, literally, Gafrit v'melach coming down, a fire and brimstone, destroying the Arei HaKikar. They're sitting in the cave on the edge of the mountains of Moab, on the eastern banks of the Jordan River. You look out from the cave, and you look eastward, what are you going to see? Fire, brimstone, hail, you name it. Right? All the plagues of Egypt. You look westward, what are you going to see? Pesach time, it's springtime. What are you going to see in the western skies? Sunshine. The sun is shining. What do you mean, Ish ein ba'aretz lavo aleinu, there's nobody left in the world? Did they really think that every human being was being destroyed, that it was another marble? The Malachim came to destroy Sodom ve'Amora. They didn't come to destroy all of humanity. They could see the sun shining on the western side of the river. So what do they mean by Ishim Ba'aretz Lavo Aleinu? Nechama asks this question in her Iyunim, and she brings a quote from a German Bible scholar by the name of Benno Jacob, who makes the following observation, that the typical phrase for sexual union in Tanakh is lavo el, not lavo al, with an aleph, not an ayin. There's only two places in all of Tanakh where the phrase lavo al is used. One is here, ish ein ba'aretz lavo aleinu, and the other is in the mitzvah of Yibum, where it says that if you have two brothers and one dies, and without children, the obligation of the widow is to marry the brother-in-law in order to establish the continuation of the seed, al shem hamet, right, in the name of the deceased brother, yivamo yavo aleha. So the argument is, she says, that essentially what Benot Lot wanted to do was not repopulate the earth. They knew that the earth was still populated. What they wanted to repopulate was Sodom and Amorah. The way Mrs. Lot looked back and pined for Sodom and all it represented, and therefore turned into a pillar of salt, the daughters of Lot loved Sodom. He saw himself as part of Sodom. And the daughters of Lot saw themselves as the progenitors of the continuation of Sodom ve'Amora. And in this case, Sodom ve'Amora's legacy continues into the embodiment of Ammon and Moab, who populate the same region of the land of Israel, and about whom the Navi Tzvanya says, Ki Moab kisodom tiyeh, uvnei Ammon ka'amora, Moab and Sodom, Ammon and Amora, these are the two nations from the daughters of Lot that would continue the legacy of Sodom. And just to pull it all together, what was the primary chet of the people of Sdom? What was the reason for ultimately God's destroying Sdom? Well, it's the exact opposite of the midah of Abraham and Lot, namely hospitality, achnasat orchim, or the lack thereof. Correct? What is the primary reason the Torah describes for the ban of Ammon and Moab from ever entering into the Jewish people? Because they were inhospitable when they didn't bring you bread and water when you left Egypt. They didn't serve you a hot lunch. It's more than that they didn't serve you a hot lunch. It's that at that moment they proved to themselves and to all of the world that they really were the continuation of the legacy of Sdom v'Amorah. Geographically, lineage-wise, and in the core of their being. Essentially, what the story of Lot tells me is you could take Lot out of Sdom, but you could never take Sdom out of Lot.
So why did he behave in the way that he did if he loved Sdom so much and he didn't embrace the values of Sdom? Why did he risk his position then like that?
Why did he behave that was so laudable? He offered his two daughters to the people instead of the guests?
No. I'm saying, why did he take the malachim in and risk his life, right? But for this hachmasas orchim, he rejected all of that.
Yeah, you can argue a little bit of Avraham's world rubs off on him on the one hand. On the other hand, think about how he took them in. What did he offer instead? It's not exactly what I would have expected as a laudable offer.
No.
I'll keep the guests. You can take my daughters.
You know, I totally agree.
That's actually more Sodom-like than anything else.
Yeah, no, right? I agree with you on that point.
Yeah, but I think there's certainly a perversion of whatever he... I mean, I'll talk about the fact that his version of Hachnasas Orchim from Abraham is somewhat perverted for that very reason. But there's no question that the daughters, and even if it's Lot himself, isn't necessarily, but certainly his wife, certainly his daughters, certainly the legacy of Lot is tied up in Sdom v'Amorah. And the reason why I think Chazal link us back to the story is because it's the exact opposite. It's the potential danger of what could have been Yetziat Mitzrayim, and what the Torah worked so hard, and what we worked so hard at to avoid, which was pulling Mitzrayim in culture and in philosophy with us as we left. The break from Mitzrayim had to be total. It could not have the Sdom baggage of pulling Sdom with us into the world of Lot, could not pull Mitzrayim with us into the Midbar. We had to break with Mitzrayim totally. And that's essentially the difference between Yetziat Mitzrayim and Yetziat Lot. I think in many ways that's tied up with this phrase, Mi Beit Avadim. And that's sort of the last part of this that I wanted to come back to. When we started with the discussion about why the Torah emphasizes on the one hand the role of the Bayit in terms of the Pesach Seder, in contrast to the moment we leave Mitzrayim, we leave not just Mitzrayim, but suddenly there's a new concept, we leave Beit Avadim. And if you look at the Mechilta asks this question, immediately, Asher Hotzeiticha Me'er Tusayim, Beit Avadim, what is Beit Avadim? Suddenly it's a new concept. And Mechilta offers two answers. One is, Avadim LaMalachim, that it means servants to kings, Beit Avadim, Avadim to a Bayit, not just to servants, not just to slaves, but not Avadim la Avadim, but Avadim la Malachim. How is the Bayit, Avadim, Beit Avadim, slaves to a Bayit, how is the Bayit connected to kings? So I think there's an allusion here to the fact that the origin of the term paro, we sometimes miss this in our discussion of, or our observation of Yetziat Mitzrayim, but what does the word paro mean? We left, our battle was with paro. At some point or another, even the people sided with us, but our battle was with paro. But the word paro comes from the meaning of the great house. Paro is a reference, and the term Paro means great house, upper house, lower house, essentially a description of the development of the land and the estates, and the king himself is known as the great house. And everything around the culture of Mitzrayim revolved around this symbol of the kings as a, not just a deity. We talk often about the fact that the deities of Egypt, the sun, the Nile, the Pharaoh was a deity. But not just in that context, but the word power itself comes from the word the great house. So if you think about the imagery of Makat Bechorot, Vashem Mika Kol Bechor Be'eret Mitzrayim, Mi Bechor Paro HaYoshev Al Kiso, Ad Bechor HaShvi Asher Be'Beit Tabor. From the firstborn of Paro the Great House to the firstborn of the Shvi Asher Be'Beit Tabor, in the house of the dungeons. Ein Bayit Asher Ein Shamet. So in that sense, our battle was with Paro, and Paro is a symbol of the house of Egypt. We left Mitzrayim to build our own house and to achieve our freedom separate from, in contrast to, the Avadim, the Beit Avadim, the great house of Paro's servitude. The other interpretation in the Medrash is what I would say is the more traditional interpretation, Mi Beit Avadim, Mi Beit HaOvdim, Sheyu Ovdim Avadazara. The house of bondage, referring not just to the physical slavery, that's the Sivlot Mitzrayim and the experience of the Parach, but also the cultural slavery of the Avodah Zarah that was represented in Mitzrayim. And there we talk often about the symbol of the bull as a symbol of the agricultural society of Egypt, that was a symbol of deity. You see it in the hieroglyphics of Mitzrayim. You see the pharaohs bringing offerings to the bull in Egyptian mythology. The whole role of when by Chet Egel is described by Yamoshe Ta'am ki paruahu ki furao aharon l'shimtza b'kamehem. The disturbance using playing on the word paro. The deities of Egypt, all the deities that came to play in the plagues of Egypt, the sun, the Nile, the agriculture, the cattle, and Paro himself, the notion that we left Egypt, the challenge for us at that moment was not just to leave Egypt physically, but to leave Egypt spiritually, emotionally, to break our connection to Mitzrayim and our dependence on Mitzrayim for our spiritual anchor, and to build a new culture, a new society, a new faith, a new people that would live Jewish life in loyalty to God in the home, in the Bayit of Israel, and not the carryover from the Mitzrayim and the world of Mitzrayim from the Beit Avadim. That, I think, is essentially what the world of what the phrase Mi Beit Avadim represents. It represents a new stage in the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. They left physically Mitzrayim. That was always the promise. I will take you out of Egypt physically. But whether or not you are able to emerge from Egypt emotionally, spiritually, that will depend on you. And that's the big challenge of Beit Avadim. That's why, from the very beginning, if you go back to that first parak, right, the whole experience of Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim is to begin, right, that experience of Korban Pesach, of the Dam al HaMashkof, the blood on the doorpost, all of this is to represent we're starting a new path, breaking from the idolatries of and deities of Egypt, our own loyalty to God, the blood on the doorpost, to represent our connection to the Torah and to the Mitzvot, in contrast to what's going on outside. At that point, as we leave Mitzrayim, we leave not just the physical land, but we begin our first steps towards, we haven't completed yet, but we begin our first steps towards a break from not only the land of Egypt, but the Beit Avadim, the house of Egyptian culture and frame of reference as well. That's a journey. That's going to take time. But in the same moment that Lot is told by the Malachim, Don't look back. Look forward. Don't connect yourselves to Mitzrayim. Am Yisrael is told the same thing. Hovering in their homes in Mitzrayim, they're told, V'atem al titzu ish mipetach beto ad boker. Don't go outside. Don't look. Don't see what's going on. You live in your own world separate from the Egyptians. But more importantly, the big moment comes at Kriyat Yamsuf. Because at Kriyat Yamsuf, there we literally watch the Egyptian army drown beneath the waters of the sea. And then we find a powerful pasuk. I'm just going to, that's not on the source page, so I'll show it to you. But at the moment of Kriyat Yamsuf, Vayomer Moshe el Ha'am, Al Tir'u, Hityatzvu Re'u Et Yeshuat Hashem Ashi Yaselechem Hayom, stand and watch God's great salvation, Ki Asher Item Et Mitzrayim Hayom, Lo Tosifu Lirotam A'od Ad Olam. As you see Egypt today, you will never see Egypt again. There's a question in the Mefarshim what that means. So some suggest it means it's a prohibition to, as the Halacha defines it, a prohibition to go back to live in Egypt. But I would argue it means something else. I would argue it means that you will never see Egypt in the same way. Up until this moment, you saw Egypt as the powerful draw. You see the sea in front of you, the Egyptians behind you, and you're kind of like Eshet Lot, looking back with fear and trepidation to see, what are you going to do? Egypt is coming to get you, to take you back to their slavery. That's never going to happen again. This is a break. Total break from Egypt. You will never again see them in the same way. You will never look at them as your masters again. You will never see them as a source of spiritual anchor or connection again. That's the challenge. In this way, you will not see them again. And it's fascinating that in contrast to the Beit Avadim from which we emerged, this breach, this break that happens right here, what happens immediately afterward, the next parak, is we find ourselves at the Man, we find ourselves immediately after Kriyat Yamsuf, after Shirat Hayam, we find ourselves at the story of the Man, and there for the very first time, what would be the opposite of Beit Avadim? What would we emerge into if we left Mitzrayim and left Beit Avadim? What would we transform ourselves into? If not, Beit Yisrael. And that's exactly what we find in the next parak for the very first time. We find the phrase, Vayikru'u Beit Yisrael et Shmo Man. And this is the first instance of the phrase Beit Yisrael in all of Tanakh. We transform ourselves, or at least we begin the journey, the process of transforming ourselves from Beit Avadim to Beit Yisrael. That's going to take time. But that was the trajectory. That was the message. In Mitzrayim, in the Beit, in which we built our own culture, our own loyalty to God, our own faith, our own emunah, and kind of, and our own culture separate from the world of Mitzrayim, and to break from the Beit Avadim, that which Lot and his family could not do, which was to break from Sodom, and to begin to emerge and to create, Mimitzrayim Galtanu, Mi Beit Avadim Peditanu, to be Podet, to redeem us from that, means we could build our own Beit Yisrael or Beit Yaakov. What do we say in Hallel? What's the phrase we use in Hallel when we describe Kriyat Yamsuf? Betzet Yisrael Mimitzrayim, Beit Yaakov Me'am Lo'ez. That whole paragraph saying Hallel is the description of Kriyat Yamsuf. That was the moment in which we broke from Beit Avadim and transformed, began the process of transforming ourselves into Beit Yisrael. That's going to take time. And I want to draw your attention to this Ramban. With this, I will close and take questions. The Ramban in the Zakdama to Sefer Shemot says that the process of Geula is a process in which we left Mitzrayim. Even though we left Mitzrayim, we left this house of bondage. We left everything that represented the bayit of Mitzrayim. We are still exiled because we were in the desert and we were traveling and we were and when we come to Har Sinai and we made the Mishkan and then Shava Kadosh Baruch Hu v'yishrash shkinato b'nehem. Only after the end of Sefer Shemot, when we get to Hasina and we get to the Mishkan and we accept the Torah and we build a place for the Shekhinah to dwell, then Shavu el Ma'alot Avotam Sheyu Sod Elo Alehem, then we return to the level of the Madrega of the Avot, who are the Merkava of the Shekhinah, and then we're redeemed. So Sefer Agula is trying to explain why Sefer Agula includes more than just Yitzhiat Mitzrayim, but includes the whole experience from Hasinai and the building of the Mishkan, the Lachen Nishlama Sefer Bashlimo Yana Mishkan. And that's why Sefer Shemot includes the Mishkan as the conclusion of this process of redemption. Okay? So if that's true, I want to show you something very interesting. How does Sefer Shemot begin? What's the opening pasuk of Sefer Shemot? Ve'ela Shemot Bnei Yisrael Haba'im Mitzrayma Et Yaakov, with Yaakov, Ish uveto bao. We come down to Mitzrayim, each person with their household. We came down to Mitzrayim, 70 households, not a nation, not even unified tribes, one tribe here, one tribe there, 70 households. We left Mitzrayim, we left the Beit Avadim behind, and we began a journey of coalescing into transforming ourselves into our own identity, into our own people, Beit Yaakov. How does the last pasuk of Sefer Shemot read? Ki anan Hashem al Mishkan Yomam ve'esh tiyalai labo le'enei kol Beit Yisrael v'chol mas'ehem. It's the last pasuk of Sefer Shemot. The journey from Yaakov ish uveito to Beit Yisrael is a journey from 70 households that literally enter into the arena of Mitzrayim, against our will, not like Lot who chose Sodom, but Onas al pi hadibur, literally drowning in the culture of Mitzrayim, Beit Avadim, have to be redeemed out of that culture. Biditanu, mi Beit Avadim, biditanu. Ultimately, are able to make the journey back through the bayit that they build to Har Sinai, to the Mishkan, and to Beit Yisrael, and the. From there, the journey, of course, is to come back to the land of Israel and to rebuild the Mishkan into a Beit HaMikdash. And as we say in the Haggadah, Adirhu Yivne Beito B'Karov B'nei Beitcha as well. So that's the journey from Beit Avadim, from the house of bondage in the spiritual context of the phrase, to this new identity called Beit Yisrael, from the house of bondage to the house of Israel. And I hope you are, I'll stop here and take questions.
So Rabbi, first of all, yeshakoch, that was amazing.
The Jews,
when they were wandering, they started pining for Egypt again.
For sure. That's exactly why the pining for Egypt is so dangerous.
Yeah, they never really quite left that.
Well, it takes them a generation. The trajectory right. Is there. But I would also argue that there's only ever a small portion of the people that do the most kvetching. that's true then, and that's true today.
But they're the loudest.
But the squeaky wheel. But even Chayte Ego was only 3,000.
That was the next
people.
Thing I was going to ask you about.
Yeah, even
was Chayte
Ego was only 3,000 people who are the perpetrators. Ultimately, the broader canvas of Klal Yisrael, it's a journey from Hasina and Asa Venishma and the Mishkan. It will take them time, but that certainly is where they are headed, and they're. Lechtecha charei b'midbar be'eretz lozer Lazarua, the notion of following God into the desert, very different experience from the moment of from the experience of Lot. So even if they had moments of lapse, some of them, but the overall trajectory was to follow Moshe, to follow Yeshua, to come to the land of Israel, to build a new home, to build a new bayit, was to build something that was the opposite of the legacy of Mitzrayim, and to leave that behind. Unlike Lot, who as we described, can
we're
never
sort of dragging him out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Rabbi. Have a good holiday.
Pleasure. My pleasure.
Thank you very much. Thank you for offering it on Zoom.
My pleasure. Chani, you have a question?
Yeah, I just want to recap for some understanding. So why is Liftot is not one of the four cups to make the ongoing process?
That's an interesting question. Why is the Vayivtacha mibeit avadim, why is that not part of the Lishanot HaGula? I think I would argue because I don't think it's dependent upon God. I think it's dependent upon us.
Why does it say Piditanu? I thought about it. And why does it all use the language Piditanu and not, you know, coming back on us, whatever that is called?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I have to think about that.
Okay. Thank you. It was brilliant. I miss your brilliance.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, Teresa, have a wonderful Pesach. And a wonderful Seder. We'll see you, B'ezrat Hashem. Those who are joining our Navi Shir after the Chag, we'll see you back. And for everybody else, have a wonderful see you in Shul. We'll see you in the community. Take care.
Thank you.